The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
You are the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Thank you for being here this morning, and thank you for inviting me to be with you. I'm really thrilled to be with you this morning. I've been made to feel a part of your congregation already with those who I've met or worked with. I've worked with the campaign team yesterday. I've met some of your fellow members in worship this morning, early worship, and then some of you during the adult takeaway hour. So I hope that maybe you'll have a cup of coffee with me after this worship and I'll get to meet you as well. I bring you greetings on behalf of the Mission Investment Fund. That's a ministry of our church that probably you know something about because one of your own, Deacon Jerry Johnson, is a regional manager. That's what his role is with Mission Investment Fund. So you've got a second MIF person in the house today, and I would be remiss if I did not say to all of you here at Trinity, thank you. Thank you for being an investment partner with Mission Investment Fund. Your investment dollars go directly to helping other ELCA congregations with loans. It's a very appreciated partnership, and we appreciate your investment very much. One of those services that we also offer in addition to loans is capital campaign services, and that's what brings me here to be with you today and over the next 5 weeks. So I'm honored to be working with Trinity Lutheran on this campaign. And as we work in partnership over these next couple of months, I hope you will get involved. There are several ways to get involved, and one of them is by praying. And watch your mail this week. You're going to get a mailing that's going to have some encouragement about joining in on 10 days of prayer. We want everybody in this congregation to be praying the same prayer on the same day. It's going to kick off the prayer part. Day one will be next Sunday, but you're going to get the information in the mail this week, and you'll have the prayers and the scriptures there. And it takes 5 minutes to do that every single day, but it's so powerful. So please join into that. Also, in your regular prayers, I would ask that you please include me as I work with you, because I'm going to be including all of you every day as I pray. I also pray to God that God will bless this work that we do together for this campaign. From this foundation, our ministry grows. And as we officially kick off this campaign, I want to look at the gospel verse again in Matthew, where we see Jesus saying, "You are the light of the world." A town built on a hill can't be hidden. Also, people do not light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. Then it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine so others can see it. Then they will see the good things you do, and they will bring glory to your Father who is in heaven. These words from Jesus are in, they follow the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. So we know that Jesus is addressing a crowd. And we're part of that crowd, even though it's 2,000 years later. And we hear Jesus claiming not only to them back then, but to us now, that each of us is a light to the world. While light is difficult to define, we would all agree that light is important in our lives, especially in the dark. You can't see much without it. And whatever the source, today it's mostly electrical. Back in the first century, it was mostly fire. Light is important. So how wonderful to hear Jesus claim that each of us is as important to the world as light. You are important. You are the light of the world. Each of us comes into this world with one light to shine. And Jesus wants us to be a light, and Jesus wants us to shine a light. My son, who is fully grown now, was a Boy Scout throughout his youth. His troop was avid about monthly campouts. In fact, the troop held the record in the Heart of America Council for more than 10 years of consecutive monthly campouts. Camping requires the right tools and equipment. And my son would approach me over the years, as he was a scout, asking many different times for yet another new flashlight or lantern. He would say, "Mom, I need one that's brighter. Mom, I need one that straps to my cap. I need one small enough for my pocket. I need one that will light up the whole campsite." I began to wonder over the years, where does it end? Just how many new flashlights does one boy need? The answer is infinite, by the way, I think. But certainly as a parent, I wanted my son to be safe and not get lost on these campouts. And even novice campers are aware of two separate but necessary lights. One that can be the light inside the campsite while you're sitting there and eating or talking or whatever, and one that can shine the light as you go out into the dark beyond the campsite. Well, circling back to our scripture in Matthew 5, I have to tell you that this is one of my favorite passages in the New Testament. And as I started working with the team here at Trinity and started meeting you all, I knew that this verse was resonating, and it was syncing up with this congregation. It just seemed to be a good fit for this congregation, because I think what I've learned so far about you is that this congregation is a collection of unique and individual lights coming together as Trinity Lutheran Church to be a light to the world. And Jesus wants Trinity people and Trinity Church to be the light so that others can find us, come here, hear the word, grow and become disciples, be welcomed. And Jesus wants us to shine the light as we go out beyond the walls of the church, go out into the community, doing work and serving others, spreading the gospel. So Jesus wants this congregation to be a light and to shine a light. You probably know that within the ELCA, there are thousands of congregations across the country. And each one is different in some way from the next one. But one thing they all have in common, and that's we all strive for the same mission. It's God's mission to make disciples of all people. Sometimes we hear that as called the Great Commission, and it's also found in the book of Matthew. It's the mission that God gives all of us that's the same. Go out and make disciples of all people here on earth. Now, what is unique about each of these congregations is its vision for ministry, its vision for doing the work to achieve God's mission. Each congregation is blessed by God with a vision for ministry. Each congregation is called by God to serve in a unique way to a community that is unique in its needs. And how does a congregation find out what its vision for ministry is? Because it's a pretty important part of achieving God's mission. Sometimes I try to boil it down to a simple question, and that is if a congregation can answer the question, why does God even have us existing in this time and in this place? If you can truly answer that question, then probably the congregation knows its ministry vision. There's one congregation that I've worked with over the years in my role that has a pretty clear idea of their ministry vision. So I just wanted to share this one example with you. It's a little community called Hope Lutheran Church in central Missouri, a little town called Rolla. Well, it's not too little, but it's not big. Rolla, Missouri, R-O-L-L-A. And I first met them years ago, but they first came together. They're the only Lutheran church in that community, and there wasn't one 15 years ago. And they came together, 30 souls, 30 faithful souls, feeling and knowing that God was calling this community of 30 people to do three things in their Rolla area. And those three things were coming through loud and clear from God. One was to reach out to the families at nearby Fort Leonard Wood. It's an army base there. Two was to have some kind of ministry to the college students. There's a campus of University of Missouri there. And three was to provide some kind of ministry to patients at the hospital. And they knew that this is what they were supposed to do, but there were only 30 of them, and they didn't have much. No money, no pastor, no building. So they started out by renting a facility, pretty ugly little metal building, several miles out of town, and they came together to try to form a community and do their work. And it, trudged along, but it was having a hard time getting traction. For one thing, the college student ministry wasn't working because the college students wouldn't drive out there those miles, and it was just not an attractive building. So that didn't work. And as they trudged along, they said, you know what, we think that this location and this facility might be holding us back from doing the ministries fully. So they called MIF, which was me. They said, can we get a loan? The answer was yes. They used the loan to purchase an old church building in town that they had spotted. It was small, but it worked for them. And it was right across the street from the campus, so that gave it a plus. They moved in. I worshiped with them. Of the 30, 27 were in worship that day. I met and shook hands with every single one of them. We worshiped, no pastor, but we still worshiped. Went back in the back to have coffee and cookies. After all, we're Lutherans, right? And they made their plans, and I could sense from them that their ministries were taking off, because they were talking about fixing the meal for the college students who were coming over Wednesday night for Bible study. They were talking about making more frogs to take to the hospital. Have you ever heard of a frog ministry? They have a frog ministry. They make stuffed frogs and they give them to the terminally ill patients. And the ministry uses the letters of the word frog, F-R-O-G, fully rely on God. And it's a wonderful ministry. It sounds kind of weird, but they make a lot of frogs. And so so they were doing well. I went back 3 years later, and they were done some things to the building. They painted some walls and so forth, and their ministries were just churning along, just going like gangbusters. They had a part-time pastor by this point, and I worshiped with them, same 27 people in worship that day. And we had coffee, and they were making plans again. It was very clear to me that they came to this building 1 hour a week, or 1.5 hours, worshiped, gave thanks to God, reinvigorated, so forth, had a cup of coffee, and made plans, and went out and did those three things that God asked them to do, and repeat next week, and so on. They didn't grow in membership, and I don't think they still have to this day, but that's okay. I had to settle myself with that answer. It was okay, because God's call to them was not to grow the number of people in the pews. Their call was very clear to do three things, and they were doing it and still are to this day. I give this example not to say that all congregations should be like Hope Lutheran in Rolla, Missouri. I give you this example to point out how they realized what their vision for ministry was and what God was asking them to do and how they found a way to get it done. I think we have clarity of mission and clarity of vision here at Trinity as well, from what I can pick up anyway so far. We know why God has this congregation existing. Isn't it true that this congregation has heard God's call? I mean, your vision statement, which I was fortunate enough to write down and read, says, united by God's grace, we are fearlessly committed to serving our community and to sharing God's love with everyone. There's two pretty clear things in that vision statement. And if you'll allow me to kind of break it down to what I hear from that, I hear it in those two different elements. One of them is sharing God's love with everyone. So isn't that welcoming and deepening our presence right here where we are in the center of Jacksonville, expanding the presence so that we can welcome not only members, but visitors and community members and friends, so that more people will find us here and know God's love and hear about the gospel. I hear that as be the light. And then the other part of the vision statement says this, fearlessly committed to serving our community. Well, I interpret that to be also growing our outreach capacity, expanding the ministries out there into the community, maybe even beyond our local community, especially our food ministries and children's ministries. I hear that as shine the light. Notice this vision isn't passive, your vision statement. We're talking movement and active verbs here. It says welcome, share, grow, serve, commit, expand. It's an active and bold vision statement, but so is the gospel. So what do you do with a vision once you realize what it is? Well, a vision usually comes packaged with a plan and some tools and resources to carry it out. So it's this package deal. And if you think about it in day-to-day life, as an example, imagine that I have a vision, and my vision is to take a trip around the world. I'm going to need a plan, and my plan might be an itinerary. It might be a plan for who's going to come in the house sit or pet sit for me. I'm going to need some resources and tools. I'm going to need maps, money, visas, so that all of that gets packaged together to help me carry out the vision. Now translate that back to Trinity's life and our current situation here, and we have the ministry vision given to us by God. We just read it. Do we have a plan? Well, I think the plan is taking shape. You've started some conversations and some dreaming here through the Dream Leaders Initiative, and you've also started this plan to take a look at how we shore up the building so that we can carry out the vision. So those still need to maybe be fleshed out a little bit, but you've certainly got the beginnings and start of a plan. And then what about the tools and the resources to carry that out? Let's talk about those. Do we have enough? Do we have the right tools and resources? Well, here's what I've observed so far. I think you do have some marvelous resources in place, one of them being the collective experience that each of you brings to this assembly. And that includes your wide range of experience and backgrounds, the long history of this congregation in this part of Jacksonville, it's been here so long, and the selfless giving of your individual gifts, the gifts that God has given you. Another resource that's pretty obvious that I think we can give thanks for, and that's partnerships. Trinity Lutheran is great at working collaboratively in partnerships. Locally, you've got your food pantry partnership. You've got congregations that you work with for the children's enrichment workshop. You've got a coalition of congregations that you work with on the campus ministry side. Stretch out a little bit farther regionally, you've got LSS, Lutheran Social Services here in Florida. You've got the Florida Bahamas Synod of the ELCA, and stretch out even farther, and we've got organizations such as Lutheran Disaster Response, so important, as we know for sure this week. So those are great partnerships. One more resource to talk about, or tool, is the building itself. It is a tool. And it has to support the ministry and not hold us back. And we want this to be a sharp and a good condition tool. However, it seems that we've reached the point here where this facility might need some renovation and renewal in order to help us out with the mission and the ministry before the structural issues become such a point where they take us off focus and take us off plan. Fortunately, from what I hear, this congregation has always recognized that this building is a stately building. It's a foundation. It's an important part of this community. And as of today, you're already, as a congregation, looking into the plan as to how you can keep it that way so that it ensures that it will support our ministry vision going forward for years to come and even support and be here for generations that come after us. So now's the time. The time to focus in on that and do some repair and renovation and some upgrading on this facility. God is calling people of Trinity Lutheran to step forward in faith and in generosity to raise funds that will help carry out this plan. Today we kick off a giving campaign for that purpose. And over the next 5 weeks, as a community of believers, we will talk about the work that we do here, God's work. We'll share our plans, our dreams, maybe our concerns. We'll give praise to God for all that God gives us. We'll dwell in the Word, and we will pray. We'll pray for our community. We'll pray as a congregation, and we'll pray about our own commitments to this campaign and ministry vision. We will also help each other by lifting each other up and growing in faith. We'll help each other in stewardship and in generous response to God's grace and love. It will take each of us to make this campaign a success. Each person, no matter the age, each gift, no matter how small or how large, each light within us coming together to shine collectively in common vision. I invite you to be part in some way, because I'm confident that with God's help, Trinity Lutheran Church will continue to be a light for the world and continue to shine a light for the world. And that will bring glory to our Father who is in heaven. Thanks be to God.